Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
And welcome, everybody. This is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And maybe hearing in the background some little, I guess some people might think of it as white noise. Black noise, green noise, yellow noise, rainbow noise. That's actually because I got a fan going, an air conditioner going. It's been pretty hot here in the City of Angels of last week, hitting over the three-digit mark. That's Fahrenheit for those in Europe. I mean, it's 100 degrees. Or what that would be Celsius, probably like in the 40s or something like that. But anyway, I want to thank you all for listening in. I'm gonna go into some special announcements first before I get into the essence of today's program, which is of course the question of fear. For those in the Los Angeles area, or actually the Ventura County area, or in the midst of around that area, next Saturday, that's a week from tomorrow, on the 18th, I'll be discussing Kabbalah. What is it really? You may have heard of it, but what is it really? Again, I'll be discussing the very essence and the concepts with its spiritual understandings in relation to the universe and you being the soul. This will happen on, again, Saturday, August 18th at 2 p.m. at Soul Centered Shop. That's located at 311 North Montgomery, and that's in Ojai. And for more information, you can call 805-640-8222. Again, that's 805-640-8222. And be there and hope to see any of you out there who come. That would be great. It's fine too. It's good. That will be a very good, and by the way, that will also include some heavy meditations, because I'll be getting into some practical Kabbalah as well, so that should be a lot of fun. Always like going to Ojai. Great energy there. The following weekend, I will be heading out there again on August 25th. No surprise. I will be doing a special event. They're having a psychic fair, and I'll be attending there doing readings for those who would like to come and get a reading from me. Whether you're in the Los Angeles area or the Ventura area, feel free to come by. We're doing this from 11 a.m. through 6 p.m. Of course, again, that's at the Soul Centered Shop at 311 North Montgomery, Ojai, California, 805-640-8222. And I know recently I've been getting a lot of emails and texts and stuff and questions and concerns and wondering about my three books that I have. And some people ask if I have anything, other projects in the matter. At present, so those who know, and you always see it when it's completed, we're actually in the midst of developing my book called Spirit. Is actually in development right now into adapting into screenplay and God's willing into a movie. So look forward to finishing that, and hopefully that will be in screen within the next couple of years or less. I also have The Heretic, which those who are interested, check that out. That takes place during the time of Alexander the Great. Those are the issues of past lives. And, of course, my first book, When the Angels Have Risen, and, of course, that's the connection between biblical events and extraterrestrials. I know you all love that. And, of course, my latest, The Baby is a Bible, say to me. If you're very interested in astral projection and understanding what this essence of that, what happens on the other side, in a very unique book that I wrote, Spirit, takes place where a gentleman goes back in, goes out of body and gets put into another body by manipulation, and hence he has to find a way to get back And, of course, the body he wakes up into is a hitman that works for the mob. Do check it out. I have links to it. You can see my website there. You can always go to andrewincognito.com. I have links from that area to all my books. And again, thank you. And I'll hopefully give you updates on projects that are coming up. So, got that out. And for everybody out there, please do check out the archives in the past. I know people usually do because we do time constraints because I do air here at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And so do check that. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me at flyingbigs@artlover.com. That's my email address, and I will process. Sounds like a lot. I will try to get back with you as soon as possible regarding any of the questions or things that you would like to me to do in the future and future shows, or even if you'd like to come on my show. I'm always open. I have very unique guests, and I'm very highly selective, but you never know. Maybe I'll have you on my show. Now, there is some people, the reason I'm bringing this up, because I know I've seen consistently in issues of fear patterns. And I want to get into that because I think people usually look at fear in an unusual aspect. And I think it's looking at fear in its reality form or truth form. So the question is fear of why, fear of what, and fear of when, and fear of who. And is fear really an illusion? Now, I remember, if anybody remembers fear, remember FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said famously after the attack on Pearl Harbor back in 1941, said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Great statement. But actually, sort of like oxymoron, if you call it that. That's like having an illusion of an illusion. Because why he said this was because the first thing is anxieties. Fear is also usually termed as a phobia. And fear is an association with defense mechanisms. And when I get into what fear literally is, you'll see that it is based, really is not a real thing, but one of perspective, and it's very reaction to a perspective, which is then an illusion. Now, there are a lot of phobias, though, and this is the term fear is often used, and this is usually applied to situations. And if you look at this, the situations, you see how ridiculous illusionary fear is. You know, people hear about phobias. Oh, I have a fear of heights, or I have a fear of leaving this house. I think that's called chlorophobe, but then there's fear of spiders and fear of close quarters and fear of clouds. And if you look at them and you don't have that, you would say, wow, why is someone afraid of heights? Why would somebody be afraid of this or why afraid of that? It sounds illusionary, right? In their mind, it isn't. Because in their perspective, it's justified. It's real. But isn't it? It's showing you what fear really is in our society, in our midst of our humanity, what fear really is. It's an illusion. I mean, fear in itself has been looked into in many aspects. I mean, there have been studies, And here's the irony. People, in fact, through numerous studies, have been demonstrated to be more afraid of public speaking than even death itself. Think about that. I'm standing on a stage and there's millions of people. The average person would be in a state of fear. Why? Are the people going to bite you? Why? Think about it. What is fear? It's like an emotional response based upon a belief, an anxiety. I mean, think about it. There are many who are even afraid of the dark. And how did this come about? I mean, I know there's been studies showing the fear of dark, for example, through anthropological studies, that they hypothesize that the fear of dark really came from the time of cavemen, out of fear of night predators. Maybe it was carried on from time to time. You know, we'd sit there, and when it comes out at night, all the, you know, wicked little predators want to eat you up, right? And then you had a fire that would protect you, the light. So that, therefore, people's perspectives apply light being good and dark being negative, just out of fear. But that was really more of a defense than really, isn't it? So what is fear again? Now, in one dictionary, hold up, it says that fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause pain or a threat. So again, what is fear? Fear is an emotional response to what you assume to be real. The emotional response is what? A perception, a perceived notion. What is perception then? I've discussed this many times, but what perception is a limited observation based upon your frequency or assumed reality. It is not the truth. I mean, you perceive things with your eyes, right? You don't see everything. You perceive things with your ears, your nose, all five elements of your perceptions. But you're limited. It's very limiting. You may sense things, and even that in itself is limited. Because we ourselves allowed ourselves to be more or less limited by even being in these bodies, which is understandable. Don't want to get into that, otherwise I get off the tangent. But because of these limitations, it projects illusionary situations in our environment or illusionary things. When you watch a movie and it's supposed to be like a scary movie and you get all fear scared, right? Is the film real? No. There's a good one. I just realized. I know it was often spoken recently. I don't know why. Waterboarding. You know, the method of people, that torture element. Think about what the concept of waterboarding is. They hold a person down and they cover their eyes up so they can't see. They put out like a mouth thing or whatever, and they sit there and they pour this water thing down them. So the person almost feels like their head is going underwater, they're drowning, and they're suffocating. So in their perception, they get fear, it creates a fear and anxiety. So it's out of their perception, but it isn't real, is it? It's an illusion. And that's why in Tao Te Ching it says, because I'll add the other phrases, success is as dangerous as failure, and hope is hollow as fear. Hope is hollow as fear. As both hope and fear are phantoms, or better expressed, illusions. I had someone say to me, but fear is real. When I think that I sense danger, therefore I sense fear. I go, no. What you sense is a possible attack or threat. So you sense the need to defend yourself. It's a mechanism. It's like you're going, uh-oh, something's going to happen to me. Therefore, I need to defend myself or do something so I don't get hurt. It's a mechanism for your defense, but it's only a reaction. If you think a car, something's going to hit you or something like that, if you couldn't see it, or you couldn't even sense it, you wouldn't even know what was happening, right? Now, if you sensed somebody was going to do something to you, your immediate response was to somehow defend yourself, or you may even be fearful. Well, you go out of that fear. That's an emotional reaction of anxiety of what to do. It's your reaction. So really, in essence, you have an anxiety response. An anxiety response is to what you assume to be happening to you. Now, the action is for real, or sent possibility being real. But the fear itself is still an illusion. It's based upon a perception. It's based upon a sense of something that might happen, but not, who knows. It's the very essence of fear in reality, in the universe, really doesn't exist. Because you're perceiving the inclination of a possible threat based upon your senses. You sense danger, so your emotions might be fear, or feel of fear, out of feeling of insecurity or insecure yourself or the predicament. The very fear, very element of fear, the essence of fear, is an assumed perceptual response based upon a threat. I mean, if in reality of truth, what are we really? A conglomerate of cells and chemistry. Yet we have a soul, and above all of mention, we're nothing more than energy in some form or another, which is spirally connected to each other. Our energies with it carry itself, experiences, and pre-perceived notions based upon our experiences from this lifetime to pass. And how would you know something is to be afraid of if you never saw it? Perhaps from a past life. Let's say you fear heights, and you're on a tall building, and you look down, you feel fearful, right? What if, let's say, you couldn't, your eyes are blindfolded, or you couldn't see, and you're standing on a ledge, but you didn't know you're standing on a ledge, would you be fear of heights, or have a fear of heights? No. What if, let's say, you had a fear of spiders? Unless we blindfolded you or you couldn't see or even feel them, we throw a whole lot of spiders all over you. Again, would you still be afraid? No. Then fear is really, in reality, again, a belief of what could be based upon an experience, or when that is or was placed in a belief, is to be perceived. In Hebrew, the word that many say at the end of their prayer, they say amen, right? Or amen, or amen. What does amen really mean? It means to believe. And the Hebrew word, the word in Hebrew for truth, means this is emet. Again, meaning what you believe. It's a belief. What you believe like is true. Get it? Emet. Amen. Emet. Same thing. Again, belief in a perception. You're assuming it's right. So it's based upon an assumed belief. If the belief has or is based upon a fear, then what is it? An assumed perception based upon an assumed perception. So it's an assumed belief based upon an assumed belief. So fear is indeed hollow without any real substance. In fact, not real. It is an illusion. Again, fear. Fear of what? Fear of why? Fear of when? Fear of who? It is fear and illusion. Fear of what? An illusion based upon a perception and or belief. Fear of when? When you die, when you get old, when you won't have any money, when you get that job, that deal, that payment. Fear of when you have abundance. Anxiety of not having abundance. Yet abundance is really Bashar once famously quoted, "Abundance is the ability to do what you need to do when you need to do it." Don't mention no money, but people still have anxiety. Where is, maybe it's the fear of not being able to feed themselves, fear of losing one's house, the fear of not being sustainable. That's a whole different thing. There's projections of manipulations, purposely. I mean, animals have fear of maybe you assume not getting their food, so they have anxiety of trying to get their food. But still, that's an assumption, right? It's based on a perspective. See, I think often people misplace anxiety over fear, but then what is anxiety? And that's where how it's used and how it's implied. But is it real? Is it reality or is it? Think what the use of fear causes. How is it implemented? Isn't fear basically, when it's implemented, a manipulating element? I mean, think about it. Fear is like a magic act. Because it's an illusion. It's a reaction based upon a perception. And a perception, of course, we've discussed, is limited. So you can create an illusion. You can be that magician. You make people feel fearful, both in illusion and any essence. Because to the person, fear is a reality. When you have a dream, and it's a scary dream, right? You think that's real, right? And it's only that perception. When you see that movie, that scary movie, it's a perception. You assume it. What does it mean that we need to walk through our fears? You often hear that. You walk through your fears. Because once you walk through your fear, you realize, you know how you, when you walk through a fear, or you realize what the hell I was scared of, right? You realize that fear was really based upon an illogical assumed perspective. Yet, it is consistently used around you, toward you, and you even allow to willfully embrace it. Not a problem, it's part of your life experiences to walk through it, but it's also to come to an awakening stage of how it's being used in the form of manipulation. Since fear isn't a magic act, and it is an illusion, it's based upon a reaction, based upon your perception, and perception is limited, I wish you all my listeners, out there in the universe, in the world, the great world that we are, our humanity, that I truly want you to look at your society. Look at the elements of fear placed upon your society. Just write a category. What things in your society they tell you to make you scared of? Think of it. Think that long list. Look at the things that make you feel fearful. And then look at the things that feel not fearful of. And you have very few things to be fearful based upon your society thrown at you. And then look at the long laundry list of things society, humanity has embraced to feel fearful. Gaze around your friends, your family members. Look at the anxieties they have to fear of things. Look at the media itself. If you even look at the media itself, look at the elements of fear placed in all situations. News being the major one. Your religion, your faith, your government. look at your government, look at your media, look at your religion, look at your faith even, look at your government, and see how many things are projected to make you feel fearful of something. Scared little rabbit you are. Oh my God, what's going to happen? Why? Manipulation. The more you feel manipulated, what happens when you're manipulated and you allow to be manipulated? What happens is we're nothing but energy. It does something to you. Think about that. Look at the fear in media on the news. And you can probably sit there. I remember I saw a movie a long, long, long time ago. And it was actually Michael Moore's movie, I think, Bowling for Columbine. Though, of late, things he's gotten to be, I'm not going to get into him personally. But if you watch that movie, it actually, ironically, talks about fear, and he himself projects fear. So, anyway, but it was showing, there's this clip on there, on two portions, because it was dealing about guns and all that stuff. And it was showing how you watch the news and how many things are counting to make you scared. And it was click, 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 and it was going on and on and on and on, making you fearful. Fear of economics. By the way, the latest news, you know, the EU is crashing, your money is going bad, oil is increasing, inflation. The world, there was a terrorist bomb attack. In your city, there was an earthquake. Over here, there was a hurricane. Over here, a tornado. Oh my God, people have died. There was clashes. People got killed. There were demonstrations. There was crime. There's bloodshed. There's thievery. Oh my God, what are you going to do? What's the weather? What about your food? It's going to cost you this and cost you that. Crime. Oh my God. Crime is on the surge in Chicago, and killings going on. Health, look at the foods you ate. Oh, we found, discovered, this is bad for you. Maybe you need to do this, maybe do this. Oh my God, the swine flu is out there. Go take a shot, you need to get yourself a flu shot. Look at all the things that are influenced. Fear. Fear. It is consistently used over and over and over in every element. Excuse me. Look at religion. Oh my God, in religion. Sex is evil. What's going to happen if you have sex? It's made dirty, the fearful of having sex. What will happen? You've committed sin. God is going to be mad at you, and therefore you will go to where? Hell, hell, hell. The devil's after you. The demons, the Satan. Oh, they're coming in to get you. Only if you listen to us and follow God's way, you will be righteous and be going to heaven. Only believe in Jesus Christ. Only if you believe in Islam. Only if you follow the Judaic laws, you will be okay. Only if you follow the Buddhist way, the Taoist way, this way or my way. Otherwise, you're going to the perpetual life of karma. Scare, fear, manipulation. So you shall do what we tell you to do. They're leaving us. Fear. Fear. If there was no fear, there would never be organized religion, would it? The fear of the known. The fear of what will happen. Think about how religions were. I mean, reality, God and the universe were all really one and the same, right? Oh my God, are we going to have a harvest or not a harvest? So we got to go pray to get that harvest, to something, some image, something. We got to pray that we're going to be okay, to have our livelihood. security. We're not going to be attacked. There's not going to be an explosion. We're not going to, the evil nation, one nation killing us or attacking us. You know, it's always God is on our side. He can't be on their side, right? It's manipulation, fear. The devil, Satan, hell. You shall be damned. Think about it. Think about the images of purgatory, the images of hell. Think of all the images of negativity. And they're always go back because of, well, you know, we're not trying to make you. You have your choice. Really. It's about to manipulate you to do what they want you to do. Using fear. Smacking, instead of hitting you, they scare you. Think about, we had 9/11, a tragic event. People got killed. And what was used through the media to go to Iraq? Fear. They call it war on terror. Of course, there was no, the terror didn't come from Iraq, but that was an excuse. Got everybody, and then they got caught with their, you know, their shorts down, basically. Now it goes backward, then they use a fear that, let's say, an Iran situation of having nukes or not nukes. When I laugh, I just post something that says, I don't think they're having, what, you know, the latest, oh, they don't have, they're not doing for military purposes. Well, why are they putting them in bunkers and spreading all their facilities around? Hello, don't be naive. But some, I know, people are saying, oh, don't be, project the fear that they're going to do that. But what did I tell you? Fear is a reaction of anxiety. You don't have to be fearful. You can be realize the situation occurring without being fearful. By the way, if I know somebody's going to attack me, I don't have to be afraid of it. I go, oh, this person might do something. I have to prepare for it. You don't have to embrace anxiety or fear. You can just prepare for it. You have the choice not to embrace an illusion. You can react to it. That's not saying, you know, if somebody, like again, I'll go back to the other stuff I was talking about. Just popping my head here. Things just popping. I remember somebody asked me, well, what happens when a woman, I remember because I have so many people I know that I work with, and they're counseling abusive relationships, abusive situations, like women getting beaten or raped or whatever. And there's a situation where they become fearful. So what do? They're like their loved one or their husband or wife or a husband or whatever. It could be the other way around, too. And domestic violence. And so they'll be fearful of leaving that relationship. The reason why fear is in their eyes, a perspective of anxiety, is because they've been manipulated in their own mind that if they do something, they're not going to be in. So it's a defensive mechanism. It's for survival. Oh, if I'm really good to him, and you know, he really won't hit me the next time. It's out of their own defensive mechanism. But fear, when you embrace fear, it's lowering. It's a lowering because it's not real. You're going into a limitation. You're lowering your frequency. You're lowering what you are. And then by lowering your frequency, you're lowering your self-worth. That's why fear is consistently used in religion and organized religions and media and governments and politics and all that to lower your frequency. If you lower somebody's frequency, they have what? Less self-worth. They can be sucked into believing you can manipulate them. Without even smacking them on the head, you scare the hell out of them. Fear. Think how, look at it this way. Think of a police state. How does it work? Let's say Iran, for example, which is totally one in a totalitarian society under the skies of Islam. perfect example of how manipulation out of fear works. They use a religion and tell people, you know, if they don't do this or that based upon their Sharia law or their Islamic beliefs, whatever they are, that they will be punished for it. And they will not only just do this by faith, they actually have their little mini police forces. Like if a woman doesn't cover her face, she can get arrested or beaten up. They will actually torment the people. Yet if you look at the surrounding of what the population of control versus the police state itself, like army, whatever, you would have maybe, what, 5%, 3%? So you have a 3 to 4% of actual population controlling 90%, right? Think about it. You maybe have 10% of law enforcement in controlling 90%. And how do they do that out of fear? Beat up somebody, kill a couple. Think about what happened like in the Green, it was a while ago, and I wish it would rediscover itself. The Green Party movement, the Green movement that was happening, and they're marching down the street, and they fought. They didn't have that fear. And they got attacked. And how did they get rid, control it? By use of fear tactics. Beating up, killing, until it succumbed. Arresting, you're next. Torture. Think about Syria, what's happening in Syria. Same thing. And you don't think in America there's not fear? Here's what the government, for example, I remember this is getting off target, but I think it's really important to understand, is people don't have a clue what like our Second Amendment is in the United States. And let me pull up what it says. I know I have it somewhere, some way. But people have, you know, they talk about guns. And there was like, you know, the shootings that have gone on. There was a shooting that happened back in, you know, Colorado. And there's, you know, that unfortunate thing that happened in the temple in Wisconsin. And on, right? But here's what it says in our Second Amendment. And I got to take people, and if people say, oh, well, it's not updated, I got to handle the forefathers who wrote our Bill of Rights were actually a little bit more evolved than the average people here, okay? They knew what they're doing. Second Amendment says literally, and I want people over the world to listen to why this is done. And you can understand why Americans hold on to the Second Amendment. When I'm talking about guns, okay? It says, the Second Amendment says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It doesn't talk about having guns for hunting. It doesn't talk about, oh, let's go target practice. It doesn't about even home protection. It says, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Why? A well-regulated militia, meaning a militia means the army, regulated, necessary to the security of the state, meaning a counter. It literally tells you, a well-regulated militia, controlled militia, a military of the federal government or states or police, necessarily the security of a free state to counter. So it would not be a police state. The people have the guns to balance the counter that. So it would not be a police state. So anyone needs to reread this. And what they use, and I know I'm getting off tangent, but I think it's important to look at the fear element. As soon as something happens, they scare, oh, well, we have to have gun control. Get it? You look on the media, boom, boom, boom. Why you think about in Europe, you do not have guns. You do not have gun control. So the governments can control you and they use fear. Literally, the government has their anxieties too. The fear of the people. How the control. Even though it's an illusion. Fear of controlling you. fear that you're not going to be controlled. So they use fear tactics. You go to Europe, they'll have more fear tactics than they do in the United States. People think, oh, well, we're not controlled. Hell, look at how bad it is in Europe. You are controlled by fear more than even Americans. Worse. Because they use fear as an illusion. Totally. They got you coming and gone. How do you think you move the chickens down the along the path? Oh, move the chickens now from one side to the other side. Through fear. So any of you need to read that. Again, Second Amendment, I read, has nothing to do about hunting or tiger pressing or home protection. It is to ensure your freedom. Please read it. And for those overseas, you can read it. And there's a reason why the Second Amendment also, by the way, came after the First Amendment. First Amendment, of course, the freedom of speech. And the freedom of speech. And the freedom of thought. And the separation of church and state, which you do not have in a democratic Egypt or a democratic Iran or a democratic Islamic country or Muslim country. Even England. How does the Queen of England be there? Because of the Church of England. There is no separation of church and state in England as well. They're morphed together. So those out there, please read it. And Bama, you're an idiot to say otherwise or anybody says otherwise. These are totally ignorant. And those who wish to, you got to realize their wanting, desire to remove your rights by thinking. You always have rights, by the way. You always have natural rights. The rights that you have, the free to thought, is natural by your ordained by having these rights. But they will use manipulations and fear tactics to make you think you have no rights. That's where it comes to politics. They're used in so many ways. And of course, there's they overlapped all these things from religion to politics to economics, right? If you get this guy president, he's going to be bad for the economy. You get that guy, he's going to be bad for the economy. You get this guy, the end of the world. You get this for this guy, he's bad this way. And look how many negative commercials they use in politics to get you to fight for it, to think what, that guy's the bad guy. Well, if you for him, the world crash, it's bad. Joe Public is always placing fear. People says, why do they use negative ads all the time? Because they work. If I sit there and pound away negative ads, the average person, because the average people do not have self-esteem or self-worth, will fall right into the place of, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to vote for that guy. He's evil. Look who we have. I mean, these are pre-selected choices between Obama and Romney. And that's the reality, the truth. They're two sides of the same coin, right? No, they have the same owners. But look what happens if they tell you, vote for him, he's even more evil than me, or he's worse than me. Look how they're doing even amongst you. You can even see it. If you vote for Obama, this will happen. If you vote for Romney, this will happen. And this is what they're each saying about the other guy. Do they really go into how they're going to really fix and change the situations? That gives you hope. And what was hope I said earlier? Remember some guy had a campaign about 4 years ago, and it was all based on hope. And what's hope? An illusion, hollow. And by the way, did it come to reality, that hope? Did it really things change? Did we really get a public healthcare situation of the public option that was proposed? Or did the health insurance companies just basically benefit because now everybody has to have healthcare based upon their things? And they're just going to get more money for it because now they're going to gain for it. And guess what? You think prices are going to that change? No, they're going to go up. There's no way. They haven't changed anything. They, like, forced everybody basically to get health care, hoping because of demand. But that demand going up is going to create what? Increase in people, the price. Duh. They made it worse than better. But they'll see. But everything's based upon fear. Fear of economics. Look at what happens in economics, the fear, the stock markets, the things that are done consistently, constantly shown to us. You know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm over 50 years old, and I see the same dynamics in our economics, the same situations going through years. Now I know why people were 70 years old, 80 years old in the past when I was a kid. Look at politics and I saw the same old crap all over again. And I realized, you know what? They're right. And these people who are like, when I was young in 20s, and, oh no, we're going to change, it's going to be different, and all this and that. And we really believe in the politicians and changing shit. They, through our political dynamics and choices, that we really do have choice. But like George Carlin said, we are not the real owners. The politicians do not run the country. The real owners do. And they consistently use tactics of fear through economics, media, to manipulate. How do you control 99% of the population? Fear. Manipulate them. Religion, economics, politics, media, movies, shows, commercials. Or some people go, oh, I can't see anything. I'm going to close myself up into this little cave and not ever see it. You can never lock yourself in a cave. You lock yourself in a cave, and then guess what? You provided them even more fear. Now you're in a little box. You reacted to the fear. You yourself are part of the fear. If I can look at something and it's supposed to be fearful and I'm not scared of it, then you've actually walked through the fear. You're no longer fearful. You realize it's an illusion. When you see a magic act, when you see somebody do the trick, then you realize it's a trick. You're not, you go, oh man, I know that magic trick. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Everybody. This is not just, this is all elements of fear. You know, there's the elements of the fear and the Illuminati and the conspiracies. You know what's interesting about the fear implemented by Illuminati and then the conspirator theorists of Illuminati? What is amazingly ironic is that it works hand in hand. This is why I often have arguments, I just threw my hands up. Can't even deal with it because I know so many people who like fall in that pattern. I'll give you an example. This is why I say like David Icke, Jeff Rances, all those people, they're basically on the same coin as Illuminati. Alex Jones, what are they using? Just giving you information or to make you fear anxiety? Now, if they gave you, go, here, this is what's going on, and what are you going to do about it in a very calm manner, saying, hey, this is what's happening, you look into it. You will see, though, a lot of times there'll be like 10, 15%, 30% truth or reality of what they say, and then 70% based upon opinion and boss opinion. Because every time I did my own research on all these stuff, it's with like David Icke and all them, it's always opinion based upon opinion. Oh, well, this guy, if you read about the story of Illuminati, how they formed in supposedly from Munich, based upon back then, that's actually, if you look at the research, you'll find that's opinion. It's based upon opinion of somebody who thought of the opinion of the history, that believed that that what happened. But it's not real facts. It isn't. It's made up. And you would think, why? It happens on both sides. What happens when somebody dies and you reincarnate? One day you're like a rich and you're poor, and one day you're rich. Maybe one day you're born and you're a family, Queen of England's cousin. And the next day, your next lifetime, you're in the ditch digger. the elite and the conspiracy work hand in hand because they both use the element of fear to scare what the living daylights out of you. They're two sides of the same coin. They want you to be scared. Now, the way to work through it, if it was not, is go, you know what? The Illuminati are like a part of us, one humanity. That's the reality. We're all one consciousness, right? And then we reincarnate back and forth to them. So it's really one, I think it was one big old ball. How would you change that? You'd raise the general population, their self-esteem and self-worth, and therefore would, no matter what, raising the consciousness, raising the vibration, walking through, it eventually works itself out through even the Illuminati, through rebirthing or then directly. I've seen actually people who I know who have been very negative in very special circumstances change. You go, whoa, my God, what had happened? He got a revelation, he's suddenly a good person. Maybe he got negative, but still, it's always choice, right? But if it's changing to positive, our Earth is actually in a dynamic right now that we're going from negative to positive. We're having more positive energy as opposed to negative energy, meaning we're increasing our frequency as we get more time. We're heading to a threshold. That's what it really is in the end of this year, that we're going to end up having more positive than negative. And it's just a little bit by bit by bit. But as that change, it's sort of like taking a pendulum. I think I've discussed this before. Going back and forth, and all of a sudden, as it changes direction, it goes faster and faster, and then it goes back again long. So as we head toward this, we're feeling it more. Why do you think things are happening in Europe as they are? This is why what's happening in the Middle East. It's ironic. Here's an example of how things work in dynamics. The Egyptians, for example, the new and the Muslim Brotherhood, all cascading upon Israel, blah, 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 oh, how evil Israel, all would never deal with them. And what happens? A terror work, whatever, in Gaza, under the auspices of control of Hamas, whatever you want to say, kill like some 20, or I forget, 13, whatever, Egyptian soldiers along the border. And of course, the Israelis knocked out one of the stolen armored carriers, and now there's a thing going on. Now the Muslim Brotherhood has their foot in their mouth, because here they're behind, and the Palestinians and the Gaza want to open up even more the border between Egypt. So what's going to happen? It's what I've said a long time ago, and it's been out there. Eventually, Egypt's going to just end up taking control of Gaza. There's not going to be any choice in the matter. But is it karma? Yes. It's karma. Not to go back into Israel and all that, but Israel is literally, all it is a reaction of humanity. That's what even says biblically, or there's references. But in reality, it really is. Think about it. Everything it does is a reaction to what happens to it. The Jews are living there as a reaction to the hatred toward Jews. That's how they sort of got there. The Nazi, that sort of threw more energy. The Jews living, ironically, living all the Arab countries. Nobody talks, by the way, by the million Jews who are refugees who were kicked out of the Arab countries. But they're all talking about the 800,000 Arabs who left Israel, called themselves Palestinians, that were spread out. Anyway, but it's the reactions. It's a reaction. And theirs is fear-based. They have fear of anxiety of getting back. Now, tactically, what do Israeli, why do they always keep on winning their wars? Because they remove the fear element. They have nothing to fear. They have their backs to the wall. This is their last place. This is where they are. It's also written in, I remember Sun Tzu wrote in his famous thing about the art of war, about deception and how to use deception and manipulation. So if you have your back against the wall, he used to say then you are that place is going to probably end up winning. Israel is basically in its back on the wall. That's why they're consistently always winning. Look how what happened to the Viet Cong. They're always consistent why they're winning because they had their backs to the wall. Everything has their back to the wall, they end up winning. The reason why Native Americans didn't win against the white Americans or Americans, whatever, because they're really the Americans, is why they didn't unify. They were actually at each other, so they weren't unified. But the biggest thing is there was a scapegoat. They allowed them. The thing, the element, if they had told them, we're going to slaughter every one of you, and you ain't going nowhere, we're not going to even put you in a reservation, we're going to kick, what would happen? Native Americans actually would have won. But what they did, they smartly did, is no, we'll get you into a reservation where there'll possibly be food and taken care of, blah, 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 blah. So allow that thing back against the wall and the reaction. So, anyway, getting off target here. Getting back to fear, it's all about manipulation. I want you all to look where it is all happening, where in our society, in every element, even people who proposed things from New World Orders to religions, all the elements to our media, you, not me, you, everybody here is free will, look at your information, look at diligence, back up, look, take yourself out of the fishbowl, don't live in it, stake your out and go, oh, wow, that's how you see things. Pretend you're an extraterrestrial that just came to Earth, analyzing our society, like an anthropologist, and you will see the illusion of fear constantly being used. You find out what fear really is. Fear of our food, fear of our health. It's all anxiety. Smashing Pumpkins, when sang this song, which I'm going to play toward the end here, they said, sang in a song, despite all my rage, I am just still just a rat in a cage. Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage. Then someone will say, what is lost can never be saved. Despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage. There's an interesting comment in there. I'm a rat inside a cage. Cage is fearful. He's locked in. He's limited. He can't go anywhere. Do you see what I'm saying? In our society, we've put ourselves our own limitations. And the limitations have lowered our frequency. It has lowered what we realize. In reality, we're unlimited in many situations. People say, oh, you're limited. You are limited. If I told you to pick up that rock, you couldn't pick it up with your arms. No, but then I have a brain and I go, wait, I can't pick up the big rock, so I get a car and pull it out. Or I get a bunch of friends and we pull it out. Or, you know, a pulley. We use our imaginations of different things. We're not limited in reality. We flew to, took a spaceship and propelled ourselves to the moon. When you people 1,000 years looked up and said, God, I wonder if I ever get to the moon. We went on an airplane. Who would have ever thought? Imagination. Imagine TV set 200 years ago. Never could be thought of. Thing flying in the air, this information through the sky comes down and now you're watching it. Oh, even worse, now you have a computer or the internet. You have a telephone where you're playing games. The technology unlimited. And where does this information come from? From analysis, our ideas, our humanity. We're finding out of nothingness is in us. Our wisdom is our rediscovery of ourselves. Our technology is rediscovering the elements of our unlimited forces. We walk through our fears. All the tools in the universe are providing us the elements. All the dogmas, when you look at them, yes, there's some negative stuff in the dogmas, but there were truths laid in them by the sages and passed from wisdom to wisdom. People get caught up in the long terms of prose and songs, but the elements and the theories and the foundations of all things are really very much the same. The anxiety of being manipulated is the reality of what is being done. And of course, things come back to the source of all issues, you. You are energy. You have a frequency. When you have more self-worth, self-love, your frequency increases. You are your perceptions. Your perceptions are increased closer to your true self when you increase your frequency. The essence of the continuing awakening is the process of recognizing and coming to realization in the process of coming to your true self with the universe. What are you? So when, as what you say, and you will increase yourself. The fear is what becomes diminishing yourself. Imagine what your fear of dark would be if there was no fear. What happens when you just sit in a dark room? Your eyes simply adjust. Fear is manipulation, not the reality. That is the truth. So, I wish to thank everybody for listening. And I'm going to close off the song by Rage Against the Machine. Spotify. Anyway, God bless you all, and I wish you a glorious, glorious weekend. And those who are in the Los Angeles area, or Ventura County, actually, please, or in that area, please come down, say hello. I'm going to be in Ojai week from the Saturday on the 18th. Check it out. See you, and until next week, God bless you all. Thank you.
The world is a band. Despite all my rage, I'm still just ready to leave. Someone say what is lousy will never be seen. Despite all my rage, I'm still just ready to leave.